Hey, folks.
Welcome to the What the Futures podcast, where we break down complex market trends into simple, actionable advice. It's your quick guide to better farming decisions.
Hey, folks. Welcome to episode 36 of the What the Futures podcast. I hope everyone's having an outstanding week or an outstanding day whenever you're tuning into the show. This is episode number 36, of course, recorded in the UPL studio. You'd say, Ryan, what are you talking about? It doesn't look like the UPL studio behind you. Well, that's because I'm still on the road from Ag in Motion. I had a great time with the folks at UPL. They had a tremendous booth over at Ag in Motion. Thanks to everyone who stopped in. It was great. It was great to say hello and to just have a conversation, put faces to names, go over all sorts of scenarios and questions you had. It was a great time had by all. So thank you so much for stopping in. This episode, we're going to try to play some of those clips from Ag in Motion. We're going to have Trent McRae with UPL join me. We're going to have Anthony join me from John Deere. And we're even going to talk to the head commissioner of the SJHL as well. Some new announcements out of them. Of course, they are partnered with UPL. And anyways, a heck of a show. The sound quality is going to jump all around. Of course, I'm even fighting the wind here today on the deck, just outside St. Louis, Saskatchewan. But hang in for that. Of course, What the Futures is your weekly dose of clarity in this complex world of crop marketing. We're going to have to talk about this market bounce as well in today's show. My name is Ryan Denis. I am your host. I have spent my career working with farmers across Western Canada, helping them as a marketing advisor, coach, analyst, grain buyer. I've done a few different things and I've had a great time doing it. So, of course, taking the show on the road here with the What the Futures podcast. And I can't believe we're already at episode 36. Of course, took a break last week. Wasn't much of like a break. It was more of having issues with connectivity and to get the episode pieced together. So this is going to be a bit of a hodgepodge one. We'll try to bring some of last week's work in with this week. But of course, we got to talk about this market bounce. We have to get you guys set up on how to tackle this moving forward. But before we do that, let's turn it over to our sponsor, John Deere, and let's talk to Anthony about EasyCal. See if we can get this one to play. All right, folks, we've got Anthony here with John Deere. We're at the EasyCal calibration set up here over at Ag in Motion. Anthony's going to run us through it, and he said that I get to hit some of the buttons. So
yeah, it's so easy, Ryan, to do it.
All right.
So the way we like to think of this is as you're tending, you'll be able to take this bucket, right, and just fill it up with some product, grab it out of the truck. You put that product in this yellow tub up top. And then from there, it's pretty easy, right? So we do call it EasyCal for a reason.
Yeah.
You'd select your tanks. So on your park side display, you'll be able to select your tanks. With this test stand, we only have one tank.
Sure.
So it's on a single tank part, so it's grayed out. Okay. But if you're running the 850 behind us, you'll be able to select whatever tank it is in Calvin. We do have the black roller in, but if you want to click on that black roller, so if you're running something else, you'd be able to select a different color roller. If you want, you can go ahead and click that black one. And then now it's as easy as clicking that start calibration button.
Sure. You ready?
I'm ready.
You guys ready?
All right. So what this is going to do is it's going to do it. Two cycles of that meter to make sure that meter is full. It's then going to record the weight from this yellow tub. So that means this bucket can be swinging in the wind. Not going to affect your calibration. From here, it's now going to run 15 revolutions. We've got it running pretty fast at the show here.
Yeah.
But those 15 revolutions are essentially just getting that weight out of the bucket. As you can see, as that goes, the weight's going up. It's just measuring how much product's leaving the bucket. From there, it's going to give you your new MDB value. So it's as simple as now. It's in that checkbox. It's going to send that right to the cab. You're ready to go.
That's it?
Done for the day.
Wow. I can do it.
Yeah. And then here, you're probably still tending at this point.
Yeah.
So you can take that bucket full of product, throw it in the conveyor. You don't have to carry it all the way up top and dump it in the tent.
So there's five different things.
Awesome.
Makes you start it pretty easy.
I can see why everyone's so excited.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Ryan.
All
right, folks. Always great to learn about new technology here from our sponsors. I forgot to ask, if you could, if you may,
Please hit the subscribe button if you're listening to this on a podcast, if you're on YouTube. Please give us a subscribe, a like, give us some ratings, some feedback. It all helps on putting the show together. And, you know, I was chatting with Mark, who stopped by the booth last week, the UPL booth, and he said, you know what, Ryan, your show's fantastic. I appreciate everything that you're doing out there. But, you know, man, if you could just shorten it up a little bit or give us 20-minute clips here and there, I'd appreciate it. And so we're going to, you know, we'll see what we can do here moving forward. But give us a like, hit the subscribe button. It certainly helps us out. Now, for housekeeping this week, housekeeping positive moments kind of blends together here a little bit. But for housekeeping, we raised a little bit of money for the Bellevue Care Home, okay? And I want to thank everyone that placed a donation, everyone that bid. I want to thank Keith. I want to thank Steven, our winning bidders. We actually donated 2 Lunchbox Crew subscriptions. When they went over list price, I thought, geez, you know, these guys are willing to pay a premium to get into this right now. Why don't we kick those funds over to the care home and help them with their kitchen reno? We ended up raising just a shade over $13,000 for the kitchen reno. So it's going to go a long way, and it's certainly going to get them a lot closer to their goal. Also pledged a donation for next July as well, just to help them out. So thanks to everyone who participated in that. Again, folks, we are just a little podcast. But hey, you know, 13 grand is, you know, it's something. And if your community is looking for support, certainly willing to try to figure out how we can help as well. So reach out to Ryan at whatthefuturespodcast.ca. For housekeeping, that's probably going to be it. I had a great time last week at Egg in Motion. I can't thank you enough for stopping in and saying hello. You know, I was having a meeting yesterday and someone asked me, you know, what my highlight of the week was. And it was just talking to folks, seeing that that I had or we had helped, right? It's not just me putting this show together. I'm sure I'm the one on the microphone here, but we have some great editors behind the scenes. We have a great social media team as well. And so it was very rewarding for me to hear from folks that we had helped them in their crop marketing and farm business decisions. That's what the show is all about. So again, I really appreciate that. So positive moments for the week. I've got a couple here, some family stuff going on. This one's from a couple weeks ago, but we had a babysitter come in, and this was our first time getting a babysitter. Finley is a year and a half old now, but it was the first time getting a babysitter where we put the kids to bed and just handed the babysitter the monitor and said, hey, you know, watch this and we'll be back in 5 hours. And we went to a music festival. We went to Ravenwood Music Festival and saw a band that we enjoy called Royal Foundry. Anyways, we had a great time. And so it's first time doing that. First time having a night date. Usually we end up getting the babysitter and we go to like Costco, which is fine and fun as well. But it was a good time. It was nice to do that and to get out in the evening and, you know, dance in front of the stage and just get a little bit wild as well. We had a good time. The next day we took the kids to the festival. And what I realized is that when you go to a music festival, it doesn't matter if you're 2, 20, 40, 65 years old. It doesn't matter. The result is the same. You're out there, you're in your like your tank top or your cutoff shirt. You've probably got an ice cream stain on it. You know, you got chocolate all over your mouth, maybe a little bit of vomit on your collar as well. I was just looking at Finley. He's just sitting in his little chair, just like laid back in that exact, you know, a little bit of red from the sun. You know, just in the moment. And I was thinking, dude, when I was 20 years old and I went to Craven, I looked exactly like that. You know, I had the same type of look going on. And so, you know, now that I'm reaching 40, it's not that much different, folks. So I guess music festivals, that's kind of how it goes for life. They're great. They're enjoyable. My other positive moment for this week, my last one. So we went and did a little family camping on my side of the family. We went up to Elk Ridge, up to Waskasoo. In the national park there. And it was the first time I had been together with my siblings. My sister lives in BC. My brother and other sister live in Saskatchewan. It's the first time we were all kind of together in about 5 years, just under 5 years. And of course, all the little cousins got together. My sister had a baby earlier this year. We met her for the first time, Maeve for the first time. So it was just a nice time. Of course, we had to fight the mosquitoes and we had to fight the horse flies and we had to stay cool, but it was a good time. And we're certainly not going to let 5 years pass us by again. It's important to get together as family for sure. All right, folks, what I'm going to do now is jump into the crop marketing stuff, and then we'll get Trent onto the show after that with UPL. But I know you guys want to talk markets, and we want to talk about this bounce. Now, you're going to sit here and say, well, geez, Ryan, you've been telling us all along, you know, to be a seller in this market, and now it's making some of the highest levels of the summer. Like, what the heck is going on? And I'll tell you, folks, we've got a bit of a weather market going on, obviously. We're all uncomfortable with the heat. Of course, I've been living in the smoke now for the last week, but which is certainly helping a little bit. But we're uncomfortable with the heat. I was just looking at the weather maps for the Canadian prairies. It's very dry north of Edmonton. It's dry in that central part of Saskatchewan, that southern part, like, I don't know if south central would be the right way to say it. It's very dry down there. You know, we're hearing of crops aborting in southwest Saskatchewan as well with the heat. Of course, lots of crops flowering out there, lots of canola flowering on our drive, lots of peas flowering. It doesn't like this heat either. And so we got that going on. We've got some dryness in Ukraine. I'm hearing out of Russia, we've got some poor wheat quality coming off. In the U.S., weather's been pretty darn good, but they've got a little bit of heat coming in as well now. And so we've got this little weather market, and thank goodness we do. Now, not thank goodness, because I don't like the impact it has on yield. It's going to shave some bushels off, for sure. But yet there's a bunch of you listening here saying, man, I love this heat. I love that I'm getting some of this heat now. The smoke's certainly going to help us out too, a little bit. But the crops are behind, and there's a lot of areas that have had really, really good moisture until now. And so those guys are, I talked to people that said, hey, I'm happy not to get any more moisture for a while now. Bring on the heat and let's get these crops going. And so it's like that every year across the prairies, folks. There's good areas and bad areas and everything in between. And so we've got a weather market, and thank goodness we do, because it's going to provide you with a selling opportunity. Canola the other day was trading at $6.05. Oh, I had a buy order in at 6.05, and I pulled it the day before. Anyways, I had a short on. Anyway, that's besides the point. But it's now rallied to 6.78, okay? And we've got resistance here. You know, you could say a little bit at 6.80. You could say there's some at 6.96 as well, right in that range. But the thing here, folks, is you're getting an opportunity to do something. Now, you might sit here and say, well, Ryan, you know, I sold canola at 6.60 a couple weeks ago, and you know, by golly gee, I'm just not comfortable now doing much of anything. In fact, I'm a little bit worried about production. Well, you know, you could add a call option to that contract, potentially, if it's at Bungie or Viterra or Cargill. You could add some type of call option to that. You could protect yourself against that production worry if you have that. You could also sit here and say, well, geez, I don't want to sell anymore, but I don't want to let this slip past me. Well, you could do a put option here, right? You could actually do something to protect these prices. Yeah, look at that view, folks. A little smoky out here, but not a bad view. Anyways, this is an opportunity to do something. And when you're the most uncomfortable as a prairie farmer, you're sitting there saying, geez, man, this heat's terrible. It's no good. I'm not selling anything. I'm locking up the bins, and other people say the same thing. More often than not, there's a selling opportunity in there. And so I would encourage you to take advantage of this in some way or fashion. You know, maybe it's to figure out how to sell some 2025 crop. Maybe it's extending sales here. Maybe it's buying a put option. Maybe it's learning a new contract that you haven't used yet. But this is an opportunity. Spring and summer bring these rallies and bring these opportunities. And I just want you to remember that we are still in a bearish trend here overall, a long-term bearish trend. And I'm not a believer that production has been impacted enough here to rally prices significantly moving forward. Now, we're recording this like July 23rd. And if it doesn't rain here for 5 weeks, then sure, in between now and then, there could be, you know, a scenario where I change my tune there and say, okay, yeah, that did have a bigger impact. We did shave a couple million tons of production. We are going to rally up another buck or something. Like, but we're flirting. We have $15 canola targets hitting now for new crop in portions of northwest Saskatchewan. You know, 14s, mid-14s, all over the place now. And I can't sit here and say that the market's going to hang on to that long term. I still think we're going to make some harvest lows here that you're not going to enjoy. And you're going to sit back and say, geez, why didn't I do anything? And think of last year, folks. We had a tremendous rally. I don't have it right in front of me, but we had two summer rallies, right? You guys remember the $18 canola? It was the best selling opportunity we had. And maybe, just maybe, that's a similar play developing right now. Carryover is still going to be higher this year than it was last year, and it's going to be higher next year than it is this year. And then my friends in the U.S. tell me the soybean crop isn't made, but they're starting to pencil in record soybean yields, record corn yields. I don't know, folks. Like, again, I could be an idiot. I might not know what I'm talking about here. But I believe this is going to be a selling opportunity. It is a selling opportunity to take advantage of. And I told the folks in the Lunchbox crew, I said, hey, sit tight. We're watching this market here to see where we're going to extend. And we're letting this market play out. And hey, you know, I had some farmers that wanted to get some call options on, wanted to make sure that their behinds were covered just in case of a production issue or something like that. But, you know, yeah, there's all sorts of things you can do right now, all sorts of scenarios for you to look at. But I would strongly challenge you to get out of your comfort zone and figure out that contract out there that makes sense for you, where you could get a little bit more profit protected. Now, you know, I look at canola, it's doing some good things. I look at wheat, though, and what I said a few weeks ago, it remains the same. You know, those 30 to 40 cent rallies, and then they stall out. They, you know, spring wheat was down like 7 cents today. I thought for sure we were going to test that high from a couple weeks ago. No dice. We just go up 30 or 40 cents and then we pull back. It's not a surprise, folks. We knew that, right? We've talked about this already. But geez, it would be nice to get wheat to pop up just a little bit here so we can make another sale, darn it. But anyways, on the wheat side, I see a quality issue brewing, not a production issue. I don't see a production issue that concerns me at all. Anywhere. It'd be nice to see a bit more demand out of India, but I see a quality issue. I see a low protein, poor quality wheat issue. And I hope that you out there listening to this grow a 13.5 protein or better. I hope you get a big yield and I hope you get really good quality and that you can command a premium for that. Spring wheat is commanding a much larger premium over Kansas here over the last couple months. That's been improving. That spread's been getting wider between those two. So spring wheat growers are going to be a little bit more excited here. Okay, what else do I have? Soybeans, they're bouncing a little bit. Corn's trying to bounce as well. Again, some weather, hot weather coming in there. But for me, folks, you know, at the end of this is to figure out how to sell this rally. This is not a recommendation today to execute, but to figure out how to sell this rally. Snug up your sales into the end of this calendar year. Make sure you got your cash flow in play. And then also get a little 2025 done as well. We're going to focus on that too. Okay. So there's some hard work ahead of you folks. And I hope you're up for the challenge. I certainly am. Have some fun with it. And hey, rallies are a good thing always. And there's lots of different things you can do to take advantage of that. What else did I want to say on markets? I saw yellow peas. I saw 10 in front of them in Edmonton region now, the Edmonton, Alberta region, 10.50. If you're still seeing prices north of 11.50, you probably want to bite that. You know, I understand you can harvest and store them. And I think Kyle mentioned this a few weeks ago to store those yellow peas into the new year. But again, folks, we're just seeing this market starting to slide a little bit. And it gets worse before it gets better. Okay. Now let's talk urea. And I got my secret agent guy, not allowed to really name names, but I did reach out I'm going to try to get a little more fertilizer context for you because the inbox, the What the Futures inbox, is just blowing up. And in fact, this is actually should slide into the Pioneer Seeds mailbox this week. So I'm going to add it right now because it's important and I want you to hear it. But the Pioneer Seeds mailbox did blow up with questions about buying fertilizer. And we saw a little uptick in urea prices. You know, I saw some 650, and then that went to 660, and then the guys that were 670 went to 680. But we did see NH3 prices drop just a little bit. Those are out now, folks, in the 1140 a ton. I should really reference my notes so I don't get into too much trouble, but right around there on the NH3. So I asked my buddy, I said, "Hey man, happy July 23rd. Listeners are getting restless looking for a market outlook on urea. Are you seeing anything worthwhile that I can talk about? I don't see any urgency to buy, but I'm also a bit of a..." I told him I was a bit of an idiot, but, you know, I don't know. And he says, "Don't worry, Ryan, you're a smart guy. There really isn't a lot going on in urea. There's a lot more interest in Canada, as we have seen very little engagement in the U.S. so far. A lot of folks are waiting to see where and if things settle after taking an initial position to have some tons through the first part of the summer." So how I'm going to deduce that, and again, folks, I'm no genius, but if I was selling fertilizer and I took on a small position, I need to sell that position. I'm going to try every little trick in the bag, right? The classic one is to raise your price for a couple of days, get everyone nervous about it, and then they call in and say, "Hey, what's going on with prices going up? Okay, well, what can you do? I think I'm going to pull the trigger." And then all of a sudden they say, "Hey, yeah, we can get a deal done. Let's drop it $10 for you," and away we go. Anyways, folks, I believe that the folks that are selling you urea right now, I'm just going to say this urea specific, they actually don't have a lot of conclusive evidence or conclusive facts that the urea market is going to climb or climb substantially. Because you got to remember, folks, money is still not cheap. So if you're going to put some money out there, you know, it could be at 5%, 6%, 7% interest. Maybe it's at 10% interest. There's a cost to that. And so I was asking farmers who were asking me, I'm like, "Okay, well, what's your retailer say? Like, what's their excuse?" And I got a whole bunch of nothing. Like, a whole bunch of nothing. I even got because the price just goes up throughout the year. Last year it didn't. Last year it went up and down and up and down and up and down. And of course, that spring price is always the highest. Not always, but it certainly was this last year. But it moves. It moves around, folks. And I'm still a bear in these markets. I'm a bear, a long-term bear in wheat, corn, soybeans, canola. Urea is in there too. I'm a commodity bear yet. And hopefully I'm wrong. I'd love to pay more for fertilizer and have prices go up 20% too, like commodity prices, right? Have canola and everything go up 20% would be great. And sure, I'll pay a bit more for my urea. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I think American farmers, when I listen to American analysts or read their stuff, they're trying to figure out how to break even here this year and next year. They're trying to figure out how to, you know, mitigate losses. They're talking about severe cutbacks from U.S. farms on all sorts of different things. And inputs are going to be part of that. And I don't think the American farmer's excited to do anything right now. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised in Western Canada if we have a heck of a sale on NH3 this fall, because the American farmers are kind of sitting on their hands trying to figure out what to do. You know, I listened to one guy say the other day, he's like, "Well, thank goodness my clients who are 21% hedged or sold, thank goodness they're going to get an extra 7 bushels of soybeans and an extra 30 bushels of corn, because they're going to outrun their cost of production. They're going to use those bushels, extra bushels, to be profitable or close to profitable." But that can't be a reality for everybody. And to me, that still doesn't circle back to being bullish urea, that urea values are going to climb. And so my summer fill guys listening to this, I get it. I understand. I understand that you're a little bit stressed out because you always buy your fertilizer now. And 9 times out of 10, 19 times out of 20, it is the right move. And it still could be the right move. I'm just not bought into it right now. I just think that there's still potential for prices at a worst case scenario to hold sideways. So you can keep your money in the bank, not pay that interest, maybe make 5% on it, and you'll still be further ahead. My buddy who texted me, what I deduce out of all that is that you've got your retailers in Western Canada that have a small position on that, want to get rid of that small position at their profit of 40, 50, 60 bucks a ton. The faster they do it, the better, and then they'll come in and reposition again. And I think it's really small out there, folks. If you did buy already, though, I just say make sure you're not sleeping at the wheel on your 2025 crop marketing. Be alert, because there can be some good decisions made on that front as well to help balance that out. But folks, I don't know. I'm going to dig into this more. I'm going to try to get an expert to join the show here in short order, and I'll certainly continue to share with what I find out. All right, folks, let's see if we can bring in a couple clips here. Let's try to get Trent McRae with UPL. Let's try to fit him in. Let's see what that gets us. Okay. We'll try to do Trent or SJHL. We'll see what the editor picks here. And and we'll go from there. So come back yet for eating your veggies, and we'll wrap up the episode after that as well.
Alrighty, folks, I'm here with Trent with UPL. Been hanging out at Ag in Motion all week here, having a great time. The plots look fantastic. The team's had a lot of fun here. And Trent, why don't you just introduce yourself and your role at UPL? Yeah.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Trent McRae. I'm the country head for UPL Agri Solutions Canada. Been with UPL for, it's been over 20 years now.
Wow.
Different versions, the legacy companies that UPL's acquired along the way. I was part of that. I used to be with Earth and Life Science,
yep,
which is now incorporated into UPL. Yeah, it's been a great journey. Come from a farming background in Saskatchewan, so you say.
Yep.
This is, I live in Alberta now, and this is, feels like coming home in Alberta.
You're like me, because I'm from Saskatchewan as well, but also I live in Alberta now, and you kind of have each side of Edmonton coming. You're a little bit to the west, I'm to the east.
Yeah.
Are you a Oilers fan?
Oh, yes. It was such a fun spring, and just a hard pill to swallow at the end. But lots of hope for next year.
Yeah, I don't know. It was something for sure. It was a good experience.
Yeah.
All right, so UPL, 20 years, within the organizations. Give us a little bit of background on UPL and a little bit of history there. You can dive in a little bit and help the listeners understand.
So, really exciting company to work for. To be honest with you, still relatively new in Canada, although they've been here in a capacity probably a little more Eastern-based with their potato products, over a period of 10 or so years. But more recently, they acquired Arysta, and all the advancements since, they grew up in Western Canada. But globally, UPL's been around, it's over 50, it's got to be about 55 years, 60 years now. And based in India, based manufacturing organization that, over the course of the past 15 years, has really, really grown. If I went back to 2005, something like $500 globally. Now we're the fifth largest agrochemical company.
Yep.
Compared to Bayer, we're the fifth largest globally. So a real significant growth path. Obviously, Arysta was part of that. We've got a seed division, advanced seeds, which actually used to be based in the company as well. A lot of acquisitions along the way in different parts of the world. And really, a lot of strategic acquisitions in terms of one where the company wanted to speak to portfolio development. What's the changing environment of ag? What's the future of ag? And so in addition to their all the crop protection, investments that they constantly make, a lot of investment in biological global leader, sales revenue standpoint, innovation standpoint, a global leader in the biological space. We're getting there in Canada. Obviously, yeah. With our regulatory process and treating people, we think it's a little slower to get there in Canada, but you know, has to be some capability. Has such a strong bandwidth global push. That's fascinating.
Is there a product in your portfolio right now that's a biological or would be classified as biological that you
We would have. Probably the most prevalent one, it's very new. Last year was really its first year of launch. It's called Wave. It's a semi-electronic product. So it's new to market. There's been a lot of history behind semi-electronics globally. It's a few years now in Canada with a lot of companies starting to participate in the space. But you know, I really like that position as a leader in terms of not just the technology and the research and that what is in the box, but also advancing the farming formulation side of the study is actually giving the product and how that's reacting within the plants, and then creating a consistency and performance by creating the system as well. Because there's a lot of variability in that consistency.
I have learned so much about seaweed and everything over the last couple of days here. I think, you know, heading into egg emulsion, my biggest learnings would be about the importance without it. But anyway, that's great. Okay, so under your logo here, we've got open egg. Yeah, open egg. What is open egg?
So open egg really, like it came together with a lot of expertise, which is whole mindset of innovation, and how we go about developing solutions and they're really being relevant, you know, not just now as growers, solve the problems. So if I was to sum up, it's collaboration. It's an innovative way to develop a new idea. Historically, there's lots of different ways to get to market. There are indeed companies that are fairly focused in the world, but they've got UPL has an element of that within our corporation as well. But we're also, as we become an open egg of this company, it's about all the entrepreneurship, it's universities, whether it's startup companies, it's all sorts of development going on. That we have a lot of skill in terms of developing some technology, partnering with companies like that, creating an open within network for the research and advancing technology for companies.
Yeah.
I think that's why they scientific based, but quick way. It's about that collaborative set. We're seeing more of that. We started that message probably 4 to 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to start to hear that resonate elsewhere in the industry. So it's good. We like to think we're probably the originator of that thought process a little bit, but at the same time, I think it's good for the farmers. I think it's good for energy. We're all moving quicker and we're bringing in the solutions that we can implement.
Collaboration, transparency, all
value of the farmers.
That's great. So we're not quite done the 2024 growing season yet, but does anything stand out from UPL's perspective on this growing season? Maybe some of the moments you guys have.
Well, like every year, it becomes fraught with its challenges, but yet the excitement of the things that are going to go for the growth as well. So it was a little challenging in the start, a little bit of a push later, and then it seems to be all different. Even our Eastern Canadian business was delayed, but in the last 2 to 3 weeks, it's really embarrassing. And generally, I would say, there's pockets, but generally, I would say, man, it talks about it. That's really exciting. And certainly, you've been having a strong year growers and getting those products. Lots of our new products. We sold out of several of our new products.
Yep.
Getting those out to market, the Rave, our Soft Wash, which is a new supplement combination. Our fungicide business is really well. This year as well, our big Jared the Blade product is really taken off as well. So we're excited that we launched 5 new products last year.
Yep.
And to have those take off and rip off and really build that growth and the growing and more of that understanding of the UPL is and the technology and the innovation of the business to the market. And it's exciting, it's rewarding for the personal self for us.
Yeah, 100%. I know, Vern that was chatting here, we've been talking about some of the products they've been using, some of the successes that they've seen there. And, say, they're looking for more bushes to market, and this is planting. Trent, I appreciate your support of the What the Futures podcast. We have a fantastic team. We've been able to chat with a lot of them the last couple of days. A lot of energy, a lot of smart people as well. And it's just been great. So I really thank you.
So this will be the Shalom himself as my people. So I'm hoping I'm leading well, because I think I've got a really bright team behind me.
Yeah, they've been great. Awesome. Thanks so much, Trent.
Thanks, Trent.
All right, folks, I can't thank UPL enough. They treated me really, really well at their booth. And, you know, we got all sorts of clips that we took. Again, the background noise was not our friend. We did what we could, and look for those later on throughout the year as well, and even later into this winter. All right, folks, for eating your veggies here, let's keep moving along. But for eating your veggies, again, number one, you're sitting here, July, end of July. I want you to just, your best guess at your yield production. You don't have to tell me, because you know that if you send an emoji with what your crop looks like, I'm going to sell that information to the government. But just assess your crop and do your best at your yield prediction. I know it's hard and it feels impossible, but just try your best. From there, review your contracts and review your percent sold. And then your cash. What do you have for cash flow covered? What do you have? What are your next gaps? What month is that where you have a gap? And then you can with confidence say, hey, I'm good for these months. I need money in X month, whatever that is. Maybe it's November. Maybe it's December. Maybe it's in the new year. And then you can formulate a plan to say, I have never done this contract, but I know that I need to take advantage of this rally. I don't want to face a buyout. Boom. What can I do? How can I tackle this? You know, how can this look? And so, you know, that's that's number one, I guess, for eating your veggies. That was like five things right there. But number two, this is a summer weather rally. Is this going to be something that we look back and say, well, geez, this was the start of the next big wave higher because we didn't see rain again for the year and we had a production loss? Again, I'm not in that camp, but we'll see, right? We're living it right now. I think it's a rally that you look back and say, darn, why didn't I do more? Darn, why didn't I try to figure out how to tackle this thing? Like, why didn't I figure out the scenario to sell and sleep at night? For our farm, I'm going to be honest, it's uncomfortable. You know, I'm talking to my dad and my brother, and I'm saying, hey, guys, this market's rallying. I'm going to continue to present options for the farm that allow you guys to sell at a profit, not face a buyout, and try to get somewhere around 100% hedged. Because if it wants to go up from there later on, I feel very comfortable on coming up with the strategies to participate in that. And so what I can never do, I wish I could, but for some reason I haven't figured out how to let a market peak pass me by and then 2 weeks later sit there and say, oh yeah, well that rally that happened, I want that again and I'm going to sell that this second time around. I can't figure out how to do that. I never could. Maybe you can. If you know how to do that, let me know. So when I have the opportunity, I want to figure out how best to take advantage of it because I don't know how long it's going to last. All righty. So what was that? Number two officially? Was that number two? But again, folks, we're having uncomfortable conversations and I'm presenting the strategies to say, this is what I would do. This is how I would do it. This is if the market goes down, this is what it looks like. If it goes up, this is what it looks like. But let's protect margin. Let's protect the value that we have out there. And I know you guys are listening and you're shaking your head like, this guy, you know, this guy standing on this deck looking at that river, what does he know? Like our farm here, it's hot out. The sun is hurting and damaging our crops. Why the heck would we be selling crop? Well, folks, the market is also looking at it too. And they always overdoes it. They always think it's worse than what it is. Except for the real droughts of 21, the real droughts of 02. And some of you are in a real drought as well today. I get that and I sympathize with that. But honestly, folks, it's just, at this point, it's still not that bad. Okay? That's my opinion. Number three. What could the number three thing? Hey, it's end of July. Take some vacation. Take some time off. You've been living in the sprayer. You've been... That's the other thing. Fungicide airplanes flying all over me right now, this week. It's a busy fungicide application. You don't spray fungicide if you're worried about not getting a crop, right? And I get it. Highway 16 North is wetter. Manitoba's wetter. Lots of fungicide application going on there. Central Alberta, dry. North Edmonton, dry. Southern Saskatchewan, Southwest Saskatchewan, dry, right? But there's still lots of fungicide going on in all sorts of areas too. Take some time to yourself. Go fishing, go golfing, do what you enjoy. Enjoy some vacation, some off time. You guys do not get very much vacation or off time. You don't get to turn off very much at all in the summer, if at all, right? You know, I'm at my father-in-law's. We're he's raking hay, he's baling. You know, I did hand him like a couple of nuts. He was repairing a tire. I'm like, here, I'll hold this for you. And like, you know, that's been my usefulness out here. But the point is, lots of guys are haying too, and there's just not a lot of time to shut down. Harvest is around the corner. The heat's going to move this crop along. So make sure you get a little bit of downtime, whatever that is for you. An evening, a day, a week. Just take some of that because you'll need it before you get into harvest. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed episode number 36. Again, a bit of a hodgepodge out there. Of course, fun recording on the deck here. I'll be back in the UPL studio next week. And yeah, if you like the show, tell your friends. It's a little show, folks. It's a little show for Western Canadian farmers. But it is building a little bit of momentum here right now. And it's because of you. You tell your friends, you tell your buddies, you tell your neighbors. And I appreciate it. I certainly do. So thanks for tuning into this show, episode 36. Stay safe out there. Take care. I'm out.